Hello and welcome to WP Cafe, episode number 18. And it's been a while since we did this. Mark, why is that?
We've been busy, essentially. That's the real reason behind it. We have been building a rather large project for the first, well, where are we up to now? May, nearly in June. So the first five months of this year. And it has taken up quite a lot of our time. It's been quite good, actually. And it is coming to an end. Well, they never come to an end, but it's coming to an end in terms of what we're being commissioned to do, and I'm sure we'll have more to do in the future, but the bulk of it is coming to an end with a go live for one of them next week. Scary, scary.
When did we start this project?
2010. That's what it feels like. No. I think we started in September last year, didn't we? I think.
What actually started with the discovery sessions and stuff like that?
Yeah. We didn't actually start development until 2022, till just after Christmas was the time when we actually got stuck into building stuff. But it took a long time to get the discovery done and understand what we were doing and so forth. So
yeah, it was a long, long planning stage. But actually, I think that's made the build stage go quite smoothly.
Definitely. It's one of those projects that has a lot to it. And when you look at it, you think it's going to take a long time to build it. But once we did the planning, it means that that build is much shorter because actually we know exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. No, it was good. So I think we can give maybe a bit more detail without actually saying who it is. But it's a recruitment group of companies. So it's a multi-site. There's some multilingual elements, job searches and integrations with certain platforms and things. So quite a lot for a two-man team.
And which is what it's probably saying that they have different brands, so they want it's five different websites, one for each brand. So we've had to build. They all use kind of the underlying tech, but there is five sites there, and obviously all not all multilingual, but most multilingual and stuff. So it's been a big project. Yeah.
Yep. All Gutenberg powered.
Yep.
TCF blocks. Yeah, it's good. We should do a full proper kind of client-facing case study, but also a tacky case study, I think, at some point.
We should.
A how we built kind of thing, because I think people might be interested. Because I think one of the things that maybe people like about listening to us, for the three people that do, is that we're quite practical, pragmatic.
Yeah.
We're not always bleeding edge. But we get stuff done. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Tell us in the comments why you like watching us. Yeah, people do.
Yeah, we've struggled. And we're honest. We're honest about our struggles with WordPress development and the new shape of things. But we've also found a way to kind of make it work for us. And hopefully that'll help other people if we can share some of the stuff we've done. So yeah. That'll be good in the future.
Anyway, so what's today?
Go for it. What's
this episode? We're just going to have a chat, really, and about some of the things that we've experienced this week or in the next few weeks, and have a bit of a discussion about various different things. So there's no sort of guest, there's no format. It's just a bit of a chat. Hopefully, you'll enjoy it.
Cover some topics. What kind of topics are we going to cover? Let's give people a taster of what's to come.
We're going to talk local development.
We're
going to talk about a plugin that we've used in that build, actually, that was just that really helped us, what we like and what we don't like about it, and then all the bits and bobs,
including the hot drama of the last week, which was Yoast's tweet about WordPress market share. So we'll get to that towards the end.
Right, what are we starting with?
Local First development?
Up, local development.
Yeah.
So the premise to this was that we were trying to... was this last week? I can't remember now. We were trying to set up Keith with a project that we were building.
It was this week. It was earlier this week.
It was this week. And we were just complete amateurs. We must have done this 400 times. And we're like, we just couldn't do it. We forgot so many things. But part of the problem was that we use different local development environments. So, Keith, you're using local what's it called? Yeah. Local, is it?
I think it's just called Local, but the domain's Local WP or W. Yeah.
Right. But, is it the one from Flywheel? The
it, web it is.
Company, right?
Yes.
And I use MAMP Pro. I've used MAMP Pro for decades. And I think part of the problem was because we were using different ones and the setup was slightly different. It just became really confusing and it confused us and we got a bit lost. I just tweeted out what people use, and it seemed to gain some traction. People obviously like replying with what they use and recommending it, which is great. So I just thought we could perhaps discuss that, why you use what you use and so on. So why did you use Local? Because you used to use MAMP, I believe.
I use MAMP. I've used MAMP pretty much my whole web development career so far. So that was probably for about 10 years. Started off with MAMP, moved to MAMP Pro.
Yep.
I don't know if I really dabbled in much else in that time. It just worked for me. And I can't really remember what started going wrong.
You had a problem with it, didn't you? Was it crashing or breaking? Or
yeah. I'm getting very slow, and I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to just try something different. It's getting a new machine to work on. I thought, right, I'm just going to try, because you can't just get stuck in a rut, can't you? And you never
definitely.
If you never try, it's okay. Like something works for you, that's kind of fine. But sometimes, just try what's out there, and then you'll either come back to what you know and liked, or you realize that there's better tools out there. Yeah. So I think I tweeted at the time about it. What are people using these days? And loads of people said Local.
It was loads. A very popular choice on my tweet as well.
So I thought, well, I've got to give that a go, don't I? And it seemed to be perfect for me in terms of like, it's not a command line tool. There's a nice interface. It's kind of drag and droppy, you know. And it just seemed like, yes, this is what I needed. And it's been good.
You said that in the past tense. It's been good.
Well, it has mostly been like pretty good to use, but the issues I'm coming up against, multi-site, I felt was a bit of a faff, but actually once I kind of figured it out, that was okay. The SSL thing I can't figure out.
Okay.
So doing like local testing through browser stack. Needs an SSL certificate, but I think because I'm on a certain version of macOS, I've got to jump through some extra hoops that I'm struggling to jump through. So that's been a bit fiddly.
That was something recently that MAMP Pro seems to have done, and I didn't realize it, but it kind of just works locally with SSL. I don't know how it does that.
Yeah, see, I'd be tempted to go back. At this point. And then the other big issue that we're finding is, I think this is me, and I think there is probably a really simple workflow here, but just setting up a new site from a Git repository. So we, for example, version control WP content, don't we?
Not all of WP content. We version control basically anything that we write inside WP content.
Yes. So I can't figure out how to set up. Well, I can figure out, but it's kind of like a little comp. It's a bit complex, more complex than I'd like. But I seem to have to kind of set up the site in Local, then pull. I can't even remember. This is the thing. Then pull down the repo, then change a folder name, then copy some stuff in that isn't in the repo, because we're obviously ignoring a whole load of stuff. And it just seems like overly complicated.
It seemed complicated to me. I don't know.
But I think it's probably my stupidity rather than like a problem with any of the tools.
Or stupidity. It seemed to be a lot of changing folder names, which I thought was a bit strange. Because usually what I do is I just clone the repo, so I pull it down, and then it exists on my machine in the MAMP htdocs folder, which is where all the like your sites run from, as the project name, which is perfect. That's what I want, because the repo name is the project name, you know,
right?
Client A sites or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but yours seems to have like a public HTML. It has to be called that. So you can't do that because when you pull it down, it's got the wrong name or something.
Yeah, exactly. So that's part of the problem.
Yeah, just seems a bit strange, but yeah, my journey with local development's been MAMP, the pro one, the normal one, the free one.
Yeah.
Then I moved to MAMP Pro, and then I actually had a delve with VVV.
Yeah, I remember.
Which was good. It's just command liney, and you know, you get a comma wrong, and then you spend half a day trying to work out what's going on, type thing. And then I think they had a change, and I gave up with it after that. For then, I went back to MAMP Pro basically, and because MAMP Pro had been improved a lot as well, and the user interface was much better and stuff. So, and I've been on that since really. And I like MAMP Pro because it's kind of like it's quite unopinionated almost. It just kind of gives you a thing to run a website from, and then you can run it how you want.
Yeah, and it seems to be quite powerful, but mostly for me before things started going wrong, worked out of the box as well. Like I didn't need to configure it, but I could if you wanted to. And I think you know with local there's certain configuration options, but yeah, I don't know. I like local. I think I just need to sort that out. Those two things. So if I can sort out my SSL and I can sort out just creating a site.
from
a Git repo, getting that workflow right. And then maybe if I do that, I should blog about that because it could be useful. Or maybe someone else has already written a blog post that I need to find. But interesting. So what in your tweet replies, were some of the other candidates? Like how many options were there that kind of came up and what were the big contenders?
The spot now about finding the tweet.
You don't need to, just like anything that came off.
Contender was local. People raved about that big time. So they like local, definitely. Let me find them now. So other ones were Docker.
Yeah.
I've heard about Docker, but I don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds a bit more complicated than like install and off you go. But I might be wrong.
Yeah.
And then there was someone tweeted like 10up local Docker. So like does like 10up agency have their own version of that or something? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if that's possible or that's the thing.
Yeah.
People mentioned about VVV. A lot of people on Windows mentioned like WAMP and XAMPP, which I think are very similar to MAMP, I think.
They are.
But like different stack because it's obviously Windows. Yep. And I'm pretty sure I've used that on when I used to use Windows way back in the day.
WAMP. Yep.
Someone mentioned Laragon, which I know someone we used to work with used to use Laragon and thought it was pretty good. I think is that a Windows only thing? I can't remember.
Don't know what it is.
And then what else was there? Just having to flip down the tweets now just to see what other people suggested.
Yeah.
That was it, I think, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the main candidates, I think.
Yeah.
Kinster also have one, don't they? They have a local.
They do.
Yeah.
I've never tried
it. Kinster, is it called? I've not tried it. Yeah. I worry slightly about the ones that are produced by a hosting company. I'm sure they're excellent, don't get me wrong, but I bet they're very biased towards that hosting environment, if that makes sense.
Well, they'll have features that make integration with that environment very, very straightforward, but it doesn't mean they're a bad tool.
No, but, not saying they are. No.
Yeah.
But they will have that sort of opinionated way of doing it because that's what they want to do for their environment, maybe. Yeah. I might be wrong, but tell me if I'm wrong, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the options. So
cool.
Everyone's got their favorite. I'm sure everyone can tell you why they love the other ones, and that's great. But
well, for me, let's encourage another conversation maybe in the comments. If you're listening to this on the podcast, obviously that's not going to work for you. But you can tweet us. If you're watching on YouTube, stick something in the comments. What do you use? And it's always really interesting to hear what you like about it, what you not like about it. Yeah, cool.
Definitely.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, so that's local development. What's next?
You mentioned something about SSL and DNS. Is that what was that about?
So we're going live, obviously, next week, actually, with the project that we mentioned. And one of the things that we run into is the wrong word, but it's when you have, what are they called, the free SSLs? Let's Encrypt.
Yes.
So it uses DNS to verify the certificate. So basically, my understanding is, someone will nod at, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that the server that requests the certificate must also have the DNS for the domain that it's requesting pointed to it. So it's kind of like the server that's requesting it is the server that's actually hosting that particular website. And obviously, when you're doing a changeover from one server to another, but you've gone live and it's a different server, you need to change the DNS records of the domain to point to the new website, which is fine. But at that point, there is no SSL.
Yeah.
You can't get the SSL until the DNS is pointed. Now, the problem with that is that you're going to have a period of time, hopefully very short, could be 10 minutes, could be 5 minutes, could be 2 hours, where you'll get an SSL warning on the website because someone might look at it where there isn't an SSL. And obviously, that wasn't great. That wasn't something that we wanted to happen because not too much for humans, because we're going to do this later at night, but more for like Google and things like that. If it's visiting the site and doing its checks, we don't want that to come up. So the solution, if anybody's interested, was to purchase a third-party SSL certificate, and you can install that on the server prior to pointing the DNS, and that will be used, and then it should happen straight away then, and you'll get the switch straight away.
Right.
And once the DNS has been switched, you can then remove the SSL, the third-party one, and then move over to the free one that gets auto-renewed, et cetera, et cetera.
And is that a seamless process? Like, there's no time gap between those two certificates?
Well, I'll let you know on Monday night.
Yeah,
but that's the theory, and that's what in this instance it was WP Engine was the host, and they were helping us with that. That's what they've indicated is the way forward. So I'm pretty sure that they're right. So hopefully that'll be the case. But just an issue that we've had with this one. And things like for our sort of projects, I think we've been like, it's fine if it doesn't work for 5 minutes. But like someone's website that's really important, that can't happen. So that was the case in this one. And we had to solve it. And that's how we solved it. So
yeah, nice. Good solution. Like it.
That was the SSL DNS thing. That was interesting.
Yeah. Very good.
One of my problems and problems isn't the right word. What's the word?
Challenges.
Challenges, thank you, that you have to solve in a weekly life of a WordPress developer. Although it's got nothing to do with WordPress.
Anyway. Well, yeah. Not specific, but yeah. Very good. We have been using a plugin recently that we've really enjoyed.
We have.
On this build, I think we should talk about it.
And it's one of those plugins that you use and you think, why on earth haven't I been using this for a decade? Like, because I know it's been around for ages.
Yeah.
The plugin in question is Facet WP.
Yeah. And they're not a sponsor, by the way.
Oh, no.
We're not being paid to say any of this.
I'm sure many people have used it, Facet WP. If you haven't, it allows you to do sort of faceted search, where you might have seen, like, if you're on a shop, you know, you can filter down into search. Like if you're searching for clothing, you might be for like men's size, and then the results get less and less as the more filters you add. Mm-hmm. And we wanted something for job search, which did similar things. We've got lots of facets, such as industry, specialism, hours worked, job type, that sort of things. Mm-hmm. And we looked at what was out there, and Facet WP seemed to do a really good job of it. And it does. It's really easy to implement and good.
So without Facet WP, what would you have had to do to try to like recreate that kind of functionality? Like how hard would it be to do that kind of manually? Because that probably would have been a bit of a combination of you and me, but probably mostly on your side of things as a back-end developer, but...
I guess there's two ways to do a search, isn't there? Facet WP is very good because it's kind of an Ajax-y behind-the-scenes search, so the page doesn't reload, but the results reload.
Yeah.
So to build that again would be very time-consuming, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the URL updates.
And the URL
query updates, strings and things. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can link straight to a faceted search, which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the honest answer, Keith, at the moment is I don't know. You're doing something with queries in WordPress and passing
those to
JavaScript, but it wouldn't have been the easiest thing in the world. So
yeah.
the fact that, that's there and does the job. It was just a real win, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good.
Does a really good job. There's some things we'd like to see improved on it as we've worked on it, but
I've got one in particular. Awesome.
Go for it.
The radius search. So yes. Location search. So does it come packaged with that, or is that an add-on?
No, it comes packaged with it. It's
the proximity.
Proximity facet, it's called. Yeah. So you get different types of facets. So you can have like a drop down, you can have a checkbox, and proximity is a specific facet type.
Yeah, so and that is basically you can hook it up to like a Google Maps API, I believe. And then so you could say, I want to look for jobs near London within kind of 50 miles of London. And that works well. What doesn't work so well is I want to look for jobs within 50 miles of England, because it takes the geographically center point of England. And if the jobs aren't within 50 miles of that, they don't return. Yeah. So that's not ideal, like from a user experience point of view, because I would expect if I typed in show me jobs near England or with that they'd all come back. And ideally, and I think this is probably never going to be the case, because it's too hard a calculation, but within like 50 miles of the border. So that's not going to be the case. But what I did find, and I've actually emailed the Facet WP team about this, is another radius-based search that we use for jobs that does it in quite a clever way. So it basically says, if what you're searching for is a country or a state or a county, so there's certain, like, within Google Maps, the Google Maps API, there's certain levels of place.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a concept of continents. I don't think there is. But I think maybe countries at the kind of top. And then you've got maybe states. Then you've got counties. And then you've got cities, towns, etc. So it basically says, if you're looking at a country, a state, or a county, you don't actually want to do a distance-based search. You want to search within that entity. And it just basically draws a rectangle around that entity and says, is the job within that rectangle?
Right.
So it looks to me, I couldn't decipher all of the code, but like it looks to me like it ignores the radius.
Yeah.
So there's usually like a text field for the place, and then there's a radius drop down. So like with 10 miles of London, 250 miles of London. Yeah. So I think whenever you've selected a country or a state or a county, it ignores the radius. And if you have selected a city or something, or a postcode or whatever, something very much more specific.
Yeah, more specific,
It'll take the radius. But even for something like London, you could say within 10 miles of London. And
still in London, really.
It's probably still in London. Anyway. Something I've emailed them, something I'd love them to implement that other method, because I think, although kind of technically it's maybe not accurate because you're ignoring the radius, from a user's point of view, that's what I expect. That would be interesting. But other than that, just absolutely loved it. They've got a lot of clever stuff.
Definitely.
I think it's a pretty good no code. Like if you weren't a developer, you could probably get quite far with it. But as a developer, we've been able to tweak it to our needs and the documentation.
It's been nice because for the non-developer option, you get shortcodes and things that you can generate to output facets on the page, and also for templates as well. Like that's how the results are shown, basically. But for a developer's point of view, you can do all that in code as well. So we want to sort of register facets that we want to use in code and have them version controlled, etc. You can do all that. So it's really good in that aspect as well.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Some of the other ways we've had to tweak it. I know we had to add some custom code to actually add a submit button. What was that all about?
We wanted a form on one page that sends you to another page to deliver the results, because usually because it's an Ajax thing, it kind of puts them on the same page. That was their solution. It wasn't like a custom, an add-on that they have for that, which is good.
Oh, okay.
Then we also had to do some tweaks to output the, strangely, they don't output the labels, do they, for the facets? So we had to sort of output a label for each one, which is a bit strange. But yeah, and we've used it for like the consultants page as well, haven't we, to filter consultants for different countries and different specialisms and things. So it's been been really good. Have a look at it if you haven't used Facet WP and you want some sort of filtered search. It is particularly good plugin. And I said they're not paying us to say that. It's just us using it. It's it's a good plugin. It's a good plugin.
Absolutely. Cool. Enough on that then. Any other talking points?
Tweet. You mentioned something. I didn't actually see this tweet, but you said Yoast tweeted out.
I think you've unfollowed me on Twitter or blocked me or something. You never see any of my tweets.
I don't. Yeah, I think Twitter just decides that we perhaps talk too much every day that I don't want to see.
Yes. So let me pull it up. I think, is this what's known as a tweet storm? No, it's not a tweet storm.
Was this week?
It was.
All right.
On. It was on the 11th of May. What are we on now?
20th. Last week then.
So last week. So Yoast said, "The moment I've been fearing would come has come. WordPress market share is shrinking." And then he says, "See what's happening and why I think it's happening in my blog post." And then there's like a little graphic of the market share graph, and he's kind of annotated it saying this line is supposed to go up, which I find interesting in itself. Why is it supposed to go up?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's kind of loads, there's loads to kind of unpack here, but I'll just use that podcaster word, unpack. Sorry. That's really poor. I hate it when people say that.
My question is, if WordPress market share has gone down, then I would assume someone else's market share has gone up.
Yeah, so, and who is I need that? To grab some of the stats, but I think who's making the most gains? I don't have the stats in front of me, but yes, there is competition.
That's the essence of what's going on here, is that WordPress has now got more competition. And...
No one's fully agreeing on what the essence is here. I think it was Yoast who, in his post, that suggested that because WordPress sites are now less performant than the competition, that sites in the top million or whatever... So... One of the things we have to like agree on or realize is how these figures are calculated. So we've got this number, and I don't know what it's at the minute. Say it's like 45%, 43% or something like that. Like who's calculating that and how is it being calculated? Yep. So you can come up with different market share figures based on different data sets. So that's one. So I think Yoast's kind of argument was, okay, so this data set is made up of the top million websites in the world based on traffic or something. And he was saying, well, maybe if WordPress sites aren't as performant as others, their SEO isn't as good. He's definitely coming at this from an SEO angle, which is unsurprising.
Obviously.
Then maybe those sites on other platforms are outranking WordPress sites, so they're making it into the top million.
And then they don't get into...
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. I mean, I don't know if there's any data to back that up. I don't really rate that as a... I don't know. For me, that wasn't a really particularly compelling reason, but...
What's the... Like, the numbers? How much is this shrinking? Are we talking, like, it's down to 20%?
Well, okay. So another brilliant... Like, another great question that you have to ask, that what... It's very, very little. Like, right.
I thought so.
Less than a percentage point or something. Basically, it's just not going up.
It's not that it's dropping. It's just that it's not going up as much.
It dropped by like a percentage point, and I can't even remember if that was like year on year or month on month. But it was, it was a very, very small drop, which could be a small drop in an upward curve. In a generally upward curve. So we don't even know if this is a trend or if it's a one-off, data point.
And I suppose the next question is, why is that a concern for me, or is it not?
Yeah, great question. I think I think it would be right if you thought that the WordPress market was going to significantly shrink. Let's take it to the extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say we're currently at 40-odd%, and someone told you that next year the WordPress market share was going to be 10%. You would be worried.
Yeah, definitely.
As a WordPress professional with a WordPress based business, that has to worry you.
Yep. Agreed.
So somewhere along that continuum is where it goes from not a worry to a worry. And I don't know what that point is, but I can, you know, if the trend continues, it's not a good thing.
No.
Lots of businesses will survive it, thrive, whatever. I think you can still find growth as a business within a stagnant industry.
Yeah.
Or like at some point it's plateaued, but
at some point that line is not going to keep growing. It will plateau.
And that's what a lot of other people have said. It's like, this was always going to happen.
Yeah.
Like continuous growth is just not possible. I would love to get the leadership's take on it, because I do have a feeling that Matt would really like to see WordPress almost just take over the market completely. Because if his like mission, which we know it is to democratize publishing, and I think by democratize he really means like open source stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he has to want to beat those other platforms that aren't open source.
But some are.
Which ones? Like Joomla and Drupal and stuff.
I don't know off the top of my head. But I assumed that there were some more.
But I think the main competitors at the minute are like Squarespace and Wix.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I assume that this, if it plateaus at this point, that would be maybe not a concern for Matt, but I think it would be actually considering the business that he's built. But just very interesting.
Where it goes then over the next few months.
Yeah. So I retweeted Yoast's tweet, and I said, the replies here are fascinating. Long-term dedicated WordPress devs aren't the WordPress evangelists we once were. Could that be a factor? So the developer experience of WordPress, I would argue, from a personal point of view, has got worse.
I would as well.
Significantly for us. I think a lot of other developers feel that the developer experience is very, very low down on the current list of priorities. And I think there's a lot that would back that up.
Yep.
Do you know what? It doesn't even need to be backed up, because if people feel that, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not true at some level.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Like, if that's the feeling of developers, that is what matters. I really think like we don't sing WordPress's praises like we used to. People could come to us today and say, I've got a small site. Back in the day, we'll do a little quick WordPress site for you. You know, it'll last you for X number of years. No probs. It's just not the same today. And so a lot of people in the comments to my tweet, replies to my tweet, we're talking about this, like, what is WordPress kind of for now? Because it's not good for people who want to spin up a quick, cheap site, because especially .org, because there's just massive overhead with maintenance, lots of premium plugins now, you know, just getting your head around the ecosystem, the block editor, full site editing. It's, you almost need a development partner to walk you through it, and even they're struggling. So it's not for those small people anymore. So I would personally push those people towards Squarespace. In fact, I have done Squarespace and Wix, etc. E-commerce, I think I would struggle. Like, if someone came to me today and said I'm setting up an online shop, I think I would struggle to recommend WooCommerce. I'm not a WooCommerce expert, but I think Shopify is probably a better platform because it's what it does. I don't know, but I wouldn't just
hard
instantly
to say,
push WordPress.
Because we don't really do e-commerce.
Okay,
so
yeah, so exactly. I did caveat that, but...
But what I would say is that a lot of small businesses who want to dabble in online, then Shopify, and I've not used Shopify, but Shopify seems to be more of a sign up, get going. Whereas WooCommerce is a bit more heavy than that. You've got integrated payment gateway and all sorts of stuff.
That's what I mean.
Yourself, whereas Shopify kind of handles it.
Yeah. So I wonder why you would ever choose WooCommerce over Shopify. I'd love to know that.
Yeah.
I'd love to know that. Yeah. Is it just the pure control so that you can, I want to put this thing here. I want to do this integration. I know I can do it if I find the right developer kind of thing. It's probably that.
As a starting out, I wouldn't recommend spending all that money on WooCommerce. I'd recommend like test the water first and sell a few products on Shopify.
Like you say, we're not e-commerce experts. Yeah. And then there's the top end. It's getting squeezed from the top end too, because I think a lot of developers that are dealing with large sites are kind of more like applications where data structure is important, performance is important. They're turning to things like Laravel. You know, they're just turning to other platforms. And maybe there'll be a WordPress part of the website and then the kind of heavy lifting's done away from WordPress. But I think at the really high end of stuff, maybe WordPress isn't right either. So I think it is probably getting squeezed. And I said this right at the start of the Cole Gutenberg project, is that if you just decide to make a platform that's everything to everybody, it becomes a platform for nobody, because it can't compete with any of the more specific options at any of those points in the market, because it's not the best at anything. It's
rather than picking a direction and then saying I'm going to be the best at that.
And maybe it will be. Maybe it will be the best at everything once things settle down. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll never be the best at everything, but like 80% of use cases.
Interesting. See where it goes then.
Yeah, but it is interesting. There's a lot of people have some different opinions. I think Alex had an interesting blog post. Do I have a Alex Denning from Ellipsis? He had a good blog post on this.
Links in the description below that you can click on when we do that. That'll be good.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap up. It's been 37 minutes. So that was a rambling about things that have happened this week.
Kind of enjoyed it.
I don't know. Plans going forward. We'll probably see more episodes like this, really, that we can just chat about things that are happening. Never say never about some other stuff, but that probably more what you see. We will probably be doing them on a Friday, but that depends how much work we've got to do.
Yeah, Friday mornings could work well, and I think we should do the next one live.
Yeah,
it's nice to have people sending in questions and saying hello.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. That's fine. Anyway, if you haven't already subscribed to our channel, then please do so below if you want to listen to more of us. And we also do lots of other videos about WordPress stuff as well. You'll see those on the channel. I tend to release one or two here and there. Again, we've been a bit quiet on that front just with being busy, but released a few last week, which is you might find useful. So do that. And we are also a podcast. If you want to listen to us rather than watch us, then you can do so on your podcast of choice, Apple, Spotify, and others, I think. So do look out for us on there. But until next week, hopefully next week, we'll see you soon.
Yeah. See you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.